Source of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, oh glory to God, for such a redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
Very good singing. If you need a bulletin, lift up your hand nice and high, and one of our ushers can come by and get you guys a bulletin. Also, we have on the front our Bible memory passage. We're working on Psalm 146, verse 9. On the inside, we have our service times, our soul winning times, and then our church stats down below. On the right, we have the list of our expecting ladies. Continue to pray for all of them. We also have our prayer list. Please continue to pray for our church family throughout the week. One other thing is we have, if you please just add my family on there, because definitely my kiddos have been sick for a while now, and we're hoping that they'll recover soon. Also, on the back, we have the list of upcoming events, our theater premiere, January 30th, of The Preserved Bible, and I'm very excited about our film. Please, if you do have an opportunity to come, we would love for you to come in theaters. We will have vouchers for popcorn and drinks, and so if you'd like to show up, please email the church and let us know that you're planning on coming. If you have brother or sister or whoever, or a friend that you wanted to invite, you can still do that as well. Just please at least let us know that you're bringing another person. That way we can just anticipate those who are coming. Also, we have down below, February 4th, a Cleburne, Texas Small Town Soul Winning Marathon. March 15th, we're going to have our Old West Wednesday. And so we wanted to go ahead and give you plenty of time to get all your gear, because I know you're going to want to dress up and look Western. And so it'll be a lot of fun, and I'm pretty excited about it. I know other people are pretty. Who's excited about Old West? All right. Yeah, that's right. And we're not bringing beans with our chili, okay? No, I'm just kidding. And April 1st, we got the Dallas, Texas Soul Winning Marathon. Greatest thing here, Bahamas Mission Trip. Man, I'm really excited about this. And we have a lot of other cool things scheduled for this year, but that's just kind of give you a little preview. We are going to definitely do the Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship again this year. And I already have some of our preachers lined up for that for this year, but I'll make an official announcement when we get a little bit further down the road. But we do have the dates and everything like that set up too. So we're going to be doing that in the fall. And we have here the best announcement. Congratulations to the Cooley family on the birth of Victoria Estelle Cooley. She was born on the 8th at 10:59 p.m., weighing 7 pounds, 14 ounces, and was 20 and a half inches long. So congratulations to them. That's very exciting. If you want to help with a meal train or anything like that, Miss Lauren Milstead typically helps us organize some of those things, and so she's a blessing to do that. If you'd like to help them, you can coordinate with her. That's probably all I have for announcements. Do make sure to turn in your soul winning to your soul winning captains and leaders. And with that, we'll go to our third song for the evening. 27?
Song number 27, The Old Rugged Cross. Song number 27. Number 27, The Old Rugged Cross. Sing it loud. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to dark Calvary. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. It's shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish ye, O rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Good singing, and with that we'll turn to our Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter number 4.
First John chapter 4, the Bible reads, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak thee of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house this evening, and thank you for an opportunity to sing praises to you in your Son's name. We thank you for our pastor and his family. We just pray that the Holy Spirit will rest upon him, and that you will open his heart to expound spiritual and carnal truths unto us tonight. And Lord, we thank you for the old rugged cross. We thank you for justifying us from all things and the free gift of salvation. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. 1 John chapter 4 is a part of scripture I often quote, even when I go out soul winning, just to try and help people understand that there's a lot of false prophets that have gone out in the world. That's what it says in verse 1. Let's read that again. The Bible says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So according to the scripture, there's many false teachers, many false prophets. And of course, this verse helps to explain to us why there's so much diversity amongst Christianity. In Christianity, there is a litany of church options and teachers and preachers, and they say a lot of different things, and of course they can't all be right, which helps us to realize that the Bible's true when it makes it clear that there's going to be many false prophets gone out into the world. We see that evident in the world today. And I remember growing up in church, and I personally thought that everyone that went to church was saved and that they were a Christian and we were all on the same team. And really the biggest difference was whether you went to the rock concert church or you sang hymns. Like, that's kind of what I thought was like the difference between all the churches. I thought there wasn't really much difference. And some people were kind of more old fashioned. Some were trying to use more technology. But I didn't understand there was a big doctrinal difference between denominations. I didn't understand that people believed in works. It was really confusing to me as a child, going to church, hearing salvations by faith, realizing Jesus Christ died on the cross. And every time our pastor would get up and allude to a group of people believing in works, I thought it was everyone that didn't go to church. And so it took me a while to end up realizing that most people just aren't even saved. And even that claim to be Christian, most people that are going out there. And I think what's interesting about that point for me is that sometimes I read a verse, and I've read a verse for a while, and I kind of have a particular understanding or a particular interpretation that I'm making relevant to me. But then as you go through and you see more things and you experience more things, the more you learn, you actually have a better understanding, or maybe you might even have to correct certain interpretations you've had of the passage, okay? And why I say that is because this next portion, I don't know that I've always understood this passage exactly the way I do right now, but it says in the next few verses, it says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, in reading this verse, I pretty much took verses 2, 3, and 4 and interpreted them as being in their immediate context. And basically the context of the fact that the apostles are going out, they're preaching Christ and him crucified. And of course, who was the first Antichrist in the Bible? It was the Jews. The Gentiles, they don't even believe in a Messiah. They have like a completely false religion, and they believe in all these other false gods. So them not receiving Christ immediately didn't make them an Antichrist. And of course, you can't say that just someone who doesn't believe the Bible or is not saved or has another faith is just an Antichrist. Really, for someone to truly be an Antichrist, they basically have to have some semblance of Christianity, have recognized who the Jesus of the Bible is to some degree. But what they're ultimately doing is they're denying that Jesus is the Christ that is to come. So the Jews, they believe in a Christ, supposedly. You know, they had their supposed coming Messiah, but they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They rejected the Jesus of Nazareth as the fulfillment of their Christ. They believed in an ultimate future other kind of Christ that was going to be different. They denied that who Jesus was the Christ. Because it's not that they didn't believe in a Christ, it's they didn't believe Jesus was that specific Christ. So the person that denies that Jesus is that specific Christ is an Antichrist. That's what the Bible's basically explaining to us. Someone that's a Hindu, they're not necessarily an Antichrist because they don't even believe in a Christ. You know, they don't really have a Messiah. They don't really believe in the Bible at all. So we want to just give them the gospel and get them saved. But someone that's fully aware of the Bible, understanding that there's a Christ coming, according to the Old Testament, is very abundant. Christ is coming. There's that prophet. The Jews were looking for the Messiah. I mean, King Herod wasn't killing babies on a whim here. King Herod was killing babies based on the prophecy of the coming Christ, of the coming Messiah. It's just that the Jews didn't believe Jesus was that Messiah. They have their Messiah coming, which is the ultimate Antichrist. And of course, to be an Antichrist, you have to be in the place of Christ. You know, the Antichrist isn't going to come and be Buddha. He's not coming to be Allah. You know, he's not coming to be the Prophet Muhammad. He's coming to be Jesus. He's coming to take the role of Messiah, of the Christ, and to claim that he is that Christ, that he's the God manifest in the flesh. So in order to have that fulfillment, you have to have a group of people that would then deny that Jesus did come, that Jesus was that correct Messiah. And to me, of course, it made sense in the immediate context. And of course, that's true, that there was plenty of Jews at that time that knew the prophecies about Christ, believed in a coming Christ, heard the story about Jesus, maybe even saw Jesus, maybe even participated in his miracles in the sense that they saw them, observed them, yet they denied that Jesus was the Christ and they were an antichrist according to the scripture. And notice what he even says here in verse number 3. He says, and this is that spirit of antichrist. Now it says, whereof you've heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So he's saying, you've heard of an antichrist that's coming. But that Antichrist spirit already exists right now, is what the Apostle John is trying to explain to us by saying this is already prevalent. Now, what's interesting for me, though, and of course in the scripture, the Bible makes it clear that in the coming days there will be one who is the Jesus Christ, okay? And I've always kind of thought of it as like an end times deception where this guy coming is going to claim to be the second coming. You know, he's the return of Jesus Christ. And maybe I'd kind of got confused on that. But if you really think about it, the Antichrist is not the second coming of Christ. He's the first coming. The Antichrist is not going to say he's riding on the coattails of the previous Jesus. He's going to say he was the first Jesus that's coming in. And he was the first, you know, showing of God manifest in the flesh and denying the true Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's interesting to me, though, is the Bible talk about it. There's many false Christs in Matthew 24 and some of these other places. You know, I've looked that up, and they exist. You know, in Russia, there's a place where this guy has his own little cult, and he has his own little picture. And, of course, he looks like the effeminate Renaissance Jesus, where he's got the long hair, and he wears dresses and everything like that. And he has, like, a pretty big commune where there's several. I mean, I don't know the exact number. I think there's hundreds of people there, though. It's at least dozens. There's dozens of people. They live on this farm, and they all are there, and this guy's Jesus or whatever. And, of course, it's like every cult where he gets all the wives and everything like that, you know. What cult doesn't have all the wives, right? And there's one in Mexico, I think. There was a guy that kind of, like, had claimed to be Jesus and everything. But every Antichrist that I'd ever maybe heard of or been exposed to or anything like that, they were always kind of being like the second coming, like, oh, I came back, or I'm here, or I'm setting up my kingdom. But I've never in my life really seen or heard of a guy claiming to be the first coming of Jesus Christ until Tyler Doka. And the title of my sermon this evening is Antichrist Tyler Doka Exposed. Now, there's a guy named Tyler Doka, and if you don't know who that is, this is a guy that had started a church in New York, and he claimed to be an independent fundamental Baptist preacher. He claimed to be like us, and he kind of seemed to want to be, for a lack of a better term, part of the quote-unquote New IB movement. And of course, that is a loose term to just kind of describe people who all adhere to a certain set of doctrinal beliefs, and they're kind of post-trib, they emphasize soul winning, they're trying to take a lot of what was the good from IFB churches and yet introduce some new things and kind of restore some of the older things that were really a part of the Independent Fundamental Baptists but have kind of died off in recent generations, you know? Old IFB churches, you know, we use that term old, but if we think about churches of the past, that were independent fundamental Baptist churches, like a Jack Hiles, like a J. Frank Norris, they're emphasizing soul winning. They're emphasizing a lot of the things that we're trying to emphasize. And so honestly, even though we're new, we're really trying to be like those older generations and trying to restore a lot of the good fundamentals they had, the hard preaching and the changing of lives and the soul winning and the conviction and even the reprobate doctrine. Yep. You know, you watch our film on Sodomite Deception, we found plenty of old preachers preaching the reprobate doctrine. Jack Hiles preached the reprobate doctrine. You know, it's not like we invented the Bible. We didn't invent fundamentalism. We didn't invent the new IFB in the sense that all of our doctrines are coming from people before us, if you think about it. Now, of course, we may be, inventing some things, but it's really not doctrine. I can't find a doctrine that I believe that people haven't believed before me and back beyond. But this guy, Tyler Doka, tried to pretend like he's a friend of a lot of our friends and tried to pretend like he's like us and tried to suck a lot of people in online. And the guy was a loser and a heretic from day one, is my opinion. He wasn't qualified, in my opinion, biblically, because he didn't even have two children when he was ordained to be a pastor. He ordained an evangelist 1 week after he started his church. And it was funny because if you read the description about his supposed evangelist named Justin LeBlanc, he said, "This guy's been faithful to church since the very beginning." I'm like, oh, he showed up to the first service. Wow. You know, how can you even claim to be faithful when you've only attended one service? There's no faithfulness at all to be recorded there. Every first time visitor is faithful. Like, wouldn't you have to go at least twice to then be faithful, you know, having done something more than once? But yet he ordained this bozo named Justin LeBlanc, and of course they were weirdos. Eventually he came out with believing in the flat earth, which is how you know someone's a weirdo. I mean, you're either stupid, wicked, or both. Amen. And I would have to say it's almost always both.
Yeah.
I'm not saying every time. There have been some people that got kind of sucked into this and then immediately corrected, and they're okay. But someone that gets corrected on this issue and digs in, I mean, they're pretty much almost always both. They're pretty much just always just like super evil and really dumb. Like, you have to be one of the dumbest people on the planet to believe this. I, for the longest time, struggled with the idea that anybody actually believed that. I just thought they were all pretending. Because I'm like, there's no way you actually believe that, right? I remember talking to a lawyer and trying to explain this to him. He didn't even believe it. He didn't understand it. He's like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Nobody believes the earth is flat. What are you talking about?" It's like, dude, I don't know. Like, there are some psychos out there, okay, folks? Then this guy starts getting even more extreme. He ended up changing his doctrine on hell, saying that people will burn in hell that are saved if they're not, like, following perfectly or something like that. They could burn for 1,000 years during their millennial reign or something like that. I thought the Bible says you should not taste of death. I mean, how does that work? You know, how can you be saved and go to hell? Isn't that undermined the whole point of being saved?
Yeah.
Like, then you have to be double saved? Like, I'm saved from the lake of fire, but I want to be saved from hell for the first 1,000 years too. Like, I don't even know how that works, right? Of course, false doctrine never makes sense. It never works. This guy just keeps coming out with weirder and weirder heresy. Well, I think he like shut down his church or something like that. And then maybe did like a revitalization. But in his most recent revitalization of his church, he's no longer just flat earth. He's no longer just saying that you can lose your salvation or go to the lake of fire. Tyler Doka is saying that he is Jesus Christ. And I kid you not, if you go to his website, so he has a church, it's called like Christian Pillar Truth or something, I don't know, some nonsense. This is what he has. On the front, it's like a what we believe or is about or his doctrinal statement. His first point is salvation. Let me just read for you Tyler Doka's salvation plan. "We believe that the salvation is by grace through faith, and you must believe in the true Son of God, Tyler Doka." How blasphemous and wicked. He says this, "Who is the Jesus of the book of John?" Now, this guy is so satanic and so, in my opinion, filled with devils. I personally believe him to be a demon-possessed antichrist. Now, you say, how did he say that? He literally is calling himself Jesus. And he's saying faith in him. Number one, when did Tyler Doka ever die on the cross for anybody? Number one, he hasn't yet. And he's not going to, for sure. He's certainly not going to taste of hell and come back. He's not going to taste. He's going to get the full experience.
Yeah. Good.
He's not just getting 1,000 years. He's getting all of it. And he's going to be in the lowest parts of hell. Because what a wicked, evil person to claim to be Jesus Christ. And to claim they have to believe in him. What kind of a psychopath? Look, I don't even think that a human can be this depraved. He has to be demon-possessed, in my opinion. To have such weird depravity in his mind. Now, he tries to interpret the scripture and says that the first three books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that is talking about a Jesus of the law, and the Jesus of John is a completely different guy that is a testimony to his personal life. And then he tries to say that the accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke contradict the accounts of John, and that all those contradictions are explained because it's talking about his personal life. So everything in the book of John is just about Tyler Doka. And now he's Jesus. And then he has all these charts that he puts on his website. So it says like the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So he's going to talk to you about how these are different. In those first three, there's the Jesus of the law. But in the book of John, it's the Jesus of the truth. Then he says, well, in those three first Gospels, Jesus goes to the Mount of Olives. But in the book of John, he goes to the garden over Cedron. Oh. He says, oh, in the first three, he becomes sorrowful and prays. In the book of John, he doesn't pray. It says in the first three, there was a multitude of swords, but in the other one, it's a band of men with torches. Yeah, because they can't have a sword and a torch, buddy. They didn't have any light. They went out. I mean, what kind of an idiot doesn't realize that 2,000 years ago, they didn't have lamps. They didn't have flashlights. They didn't have any. You don't think that they needed some torches to be able to know where they're going out in the middle of the forest and the middle of the woods? Oh, they just need some swords. They didn't have torches with them. Look, it's two different accounts of the same event from two different perspectives. Well, he says in the first three, Judas betrays him with a kiss. But in the book of John, there's no kiss. He says, the disciples forsake him and flee, but in the book of John, he loses none of his disciples. Well, that's a twisting of the book of John, isn't it? Yeah. Says he was led to Caiaphas, not bound, but then in the book of John, he's bound, led to Annas. Well, that's just basically him trying to say that the Bible's full of contradictions. Which it's not, he's full of contradictions. Yeah. Not only that, listen to this. He thinks that the seven spirits of God, let me list the seven spirits of God for you, okay? His left eye, left ear, right ear, left nostril, right nostril, and his mouth. What? What in the world? I mean, this guy is an idiot, okay? And he talks about heaven. You know what heaven is? Heaven is a symbol of the mind of God. So you just gotta get to, I'm in heaven now. Oh. When you just have the right mentality. This sounds like a drug user that's taking LSD that claims that getting to heaven is when you get that high or something like that. Now, I want to go to a few more places before I get into this sermon too much. Go to 1 John 2, just flip maybe a page back. Look what the Bible says in verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So according to the scripture, you're going to know that it's the end times when you have an abundance of Antichrists. Now, again, in my lifetime, and I'm not saying that I know everything. There could be lots of examples of this that I'm just ignorant of. But just personally, I've never even heard of anybody like this. I've never heard of a person who claims to be Jesus and denies the first coming of Christ. Because he is not saying that the Jesus of the Old Testament and the New Testament came 2,000 years ago. He's saying that it's made up. He's saying that it's all fake. He's saying that Jesus is not real and that he is the first Jesus. Because it'll talk about in Hebrews how he's appointed us in the last days, you know, for a son to come. And he's just like, that's me. I mean, this guy is a unique person to us in recent history, in my opinion. But according to Scripture, the Bible says that there's going to be many antichrists. And this is kind of a sign of the end times, that there's going to be an abundance of antichrists. And I'd always thought about that, and I'm like, well, I can see how a lot of people are denying Christ or whatever. But I always thought, like, I don't understand how this is going to actually happen, where people are going to literally deny the first coming of Jesus. But it's literally going to happen. People are going to be literally denying the first coming of Jesus Christ. They're going to deny the official account of the gospel. They're going to deny the Bible. I believe it. I'm fully convinced that this is going to keep happening, and we're going to have more and more people like Tyler Doka, and it's really crazy. Look what it says in verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Who's a liar? Tyler Doka. Yeah. Tyler Doka is a liar and an Antichrist who's going to split hell wide open. He's going to make Hitler blush. He's going to make all kinds of evil people blush. He's going to make Jeffrey Dahmer blush because of the wicked blasphemy proceeding out of his mouth. Yep, right. And look, there is no one more satanic and more evil than Tyler Doka. Yeah. There is nothing more evil than the spirit of Antichrist that would deny the Lord and Savior. I mean, even the Catholics will acknowledge that Jesus came. Even the Muslims will acknowledge that Jesus came. The blasphemy of Tyler Doka to get up and deny all of history, all of the Bible, and try to pervert it for his own self-gratification. Exactly what he said. Ondongrazizement. I can't say it, all right? Tongue-tied. What a loser.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just insane and insanity. And anybody that falls for it would only be able to fall for it if they were given strong delusion. And the Bible warns about the fact that there will be coming a day when there is strong delusion poured out into the world. Now, go if you would to 2 John. Just flip to the right just a hair in your Bible. 2 John verse 7, the Bible says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh." This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So we get a very clear picture from the Bible what an antichrist is. What is an antichrist? According to the scripture, an antichrist is one who denies the first coming of Jesus. They're saying he didn't come in the flesh. Now, there's a lot of ways that that could be manifested, or people could explain what they believe about that. But ultimately, to be an antichrist, you have to deny the first coming of Christ. And the Bible makes it very clear that this is kind of an end times later period where a lot of people are going to really be exploding in this spirit of antichrist. Go if you would to Mark chapter number 1, Mark chapter number 1, and we'll get there in a minute. You know, Jesus said, "I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive." So Jesus gave a rebuke to the Jews, saying there is going to be coming an antichrist. He's going to come in his own name, not with any other authority, and he's going to basically take upon himself deity. He's going to claim to be God. And you study the book of Revelation and these different passages of scripture, it makes it clear that the antichrist goes into the holy temple and declares himself to be God. And he's going to force everybody to take a mark. Now, I already know that Tyler Doka is not the antichrist that's the ultimate antichrist. I certainly know he's not Christ. And, you know, I would have some interesting questions. Like, okay, so you're the Jesus then, right? Well, then are your kids like half God? Or are they half human? Or how did that work? Right? I mean, this guy's married with kids. So how does that work? I mean, the real Jesus just has a bunch of children. Are they like half Jesuses, or can we all become Jesus? I mean, there's all these questions that I would like to know, and I'm sure he hasn't thought those out. I mean, hey, if you're really the Jesus, why'd you make such a stupid flat earth? You know? How come if you're really the God of the Bible, did you tell us that it was the circle of the earth? How come in Spanish it says globo? You know, is that a bad translation, or, you know, what's going on there? I mean, just there's so many questions that I would have. But ultimately, I don't really have any questions for this heretic because I don't want to talk to him.
Yeah.
The seven spirits of God are his face. Yeah, whatever. You know, the Bible tells us the seven spirits of God in Isaiah. It says the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that there's seven lamps that are burning with fire before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So if you want to tell me that the seven lamps burning are the seven spirits, but you know what the seven spirits are not? His face. You know, his face might be filled with spirits, but it's not the seven spirits of God. It's the seven spirits of the devil. Not only that, he has a chart on his website where he claims who the four beasts are in Scripture. And the four beasts are your frontal lobe, your temporal lobe, your occipital lobe, and your parietal lobe. Or parietal lobe. That's interesting. I didn't know that my brain was the four beasts of the book. I mean, how did that even work? Especially when they started conquering each other, you know? Like the Medes and Persians, like conquering like my other kingdom in my brain, or like, how did that even work? But this guy is such a hypocrite and such a loser. He has this still on his website, but you know, he came out with a new video and it's like, I'm going to describe who the fourth beast kingdom is. Now it doesn't follow this. It's just like a completely different thing. So maybe you should take your chart down since you changed your mind about what the fourth kingdom and the fourth beast kingdom is, or whatever. But Tyler Doka made a video and he said that the fourth kingdom in the Bible, who is going to be that like antichrist system or whatever, is the new IFB. So welcome, you made it. We're part of the fourth kingdom, you know. And he said that we're a kingdom of iron, and so we're really strong, you know. So I, you know, already I'm starting to think this might be true, you know. I'm lying, of course. Now, I'm going to just give you some quotes from this video that he kind of gave us, just so you kind of have a little bit of context before I preach in Mark here. But he says this about himself. He says, I think it's important before I begin to know that history is a lie. So you can't look at history and try to and apply it to the Bible. He says, I've done that in the past before I knew who I was. And I was able to line it up very well only to come to realize that history in and of itself was fabricated based upon the Bible. You need a spiritual reference in order to make history valid. Because think about it. Christianity, if you include Catholicism and contemporary Christians, the Baptists and all people who look towards the Bible as their spiritual guide, are going to take that biblical account and apply it to history. Yeah. So the only way that history can be properly fabricated is if it has spiritual references. So when I was doing that Changing of Times documentary, I was able to show you all the references of the Roman Empire. And when I thought, you know, the made-up Jesus came and all those things because they had fabricated history. So he says that the story of Jesus is made up based on the Bible. And that's how we fabricated history. So, you know, every Catholic, every Eastern Orthodox, every person that's been a Christian, William Tyndale, all of it's just been fabricated based on the Bible. And it was all about Tyler Doka. I mean, didn't everybody just miss the boat on that one? He even said in this video, every single pastor in the world's unsaved because they don't believe in him. That's true. I don't know anybody that believes in him. So, except for some weird troll comments on the line. I don't know. He's probably fake accounts he made. He said that. It, later in the video, he said about the fourth kingdom, he said, the new IFB is that they've given a vehement response against him publicly. And it says that we're trying to start churches all over the United States. Amen. And he said that the United States is a very liberal nation. That's true. So he said that since we're iron, we're not mixing well with the clay. So if you know anything about the four beasts, it talks about there's an iron fourth kingdom, and it tries to mix itself with clay, and it doesn't really mix well. And he's basically saying that we don't mix well with the clay of the United States. And then he basically just puts a bunch of pictures of us in our church. And he says, oh, so the example is how, the new IB churches are constantly getting shut down, and their leases are getting revoked, and people don't like us. And I'm like, you know, people don't like us? Devil-filled sodomites. That's who doesn't like us.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not trying to mix with them. You know, it's weird. It's like, oh, you keep getting shut down because you're not mixing well with clay. I mix fine with the clay. I don't mix fine with homos and sodomites and reprobates, okay? So, you know, again, this is his interpretation of how we're the fourth kingdom, okay? Then he says a little bit later, he says, the truth about this kingdom is it's a kingdom of iron. It's a spiritual kingdom. And he says, during his time, when God is setting up his kingdom, that this fourth kingdom is going to be a spiritual group, which we were able to subdue and break in pieces all things. So we did, apparently, we subdued everything and we broke everything down, okay, according to him. He said that during his reign, this is currently his reign, okay, just FYI, I didn't know if you know that or not. We have the new IFB Fundamental Baptist Movement. The new IFB is this fourth kingdom because it's happening simultaneous with his kingdom. And we're being set up, but it's ultimately going to break in pieces and we'll be subdued, okay? He says that the new Independent Fundamental Baptist Movement really is the only, like, movement doing anything for God. That every other church is basically not doing anything for God, and that it's just basically a nothing burger, to paraphrase a little bit. They say they're not subduing anything. They're not really changing anything. He said that we're taking over the Baptist movement. So in his opinion, the new IFB movement is taking over the entire Baptist movement. Well, I have sad news for him. We haven't. Okay. There's like 50 million Baptists in America. The Southern Baptist Convention is the largest denomination in the world, and they still dominate us in every category virtually. I mean, as far as numbers, size, money, churches, influence, all of those categories. I mean, how could you say that we're dominating them? I mean, in what way? Obviously, maybe we preach better sermons as a whole, but there's no domination in that. And I'm sure there's even still Southern Baptists that preach the right gospel and get people saved. You know, what a stupid ideology. We've taken over Baptists. The new IFB's taken over Baptists. He says, anyone who cares about the Bible is going to ultimately be drawn to the new IFB. Now, that might be true. He said that we're subduing everything, and we're this spiritual kingdom, and we're this fourth kingdom. I'm just giving you a little bit of context before I get into this. Now, of course, if we're this final Antichrist system, then we have to have 10 kings, don't we? So he said that he's going to give us the 10 kings. He said during his ministry, the 10 kings came in, and Steven Anderson is the head. Now, the other 10 kings, so he was one, is Pastor Roger Menez. I'm actually putting pastor, he didn't say this. Pastor Roger Menez, Pastor Aaron Thompson, Pastor David Berzins, Pastor Tommy McMurtry, Pastor Jason Robinson, Pastor Manly Perry, Pastor Joe Major, Pastor Donnie Romero, and Adam Fannin. Those are the 10 kings of the book of Revelation. And then he said that the new IFB movement, he said that there was other minor kings, you know, but the only ones that had actual power were those 10 kings, like Adam Fannin. He's just actual power, man. I mean, really changing people's lives there. Now, who's the little horn? Okay. The little horn was his evangelist, Justin LeBlanc. And he said that he came in peaceably because he came into his church and flattered Tyler Doka and won him over. And then he said that Justin LeBlanc, he subdued three kings. So he said that Justin LeBlanc preached against Donnie Romero, Manly Perry, and Adam Fannin, and that's why they were subdued. Talk about a high view of yourselves here. I didn't realize that Donnie Romero had to step down because of Justin LeBlanc. I don't remember Adam Fannin complaining. You know, Adam Fannin complained to me about a lot of things, but it was never Justin LeBlanc. You know, who knew that Justin LeBlanc just destroyed all of these guys? And I remember when Justin LeBlanc exposed Manly Perry for preaching weird things about hell. Oh, wait, Justin LeBlanc preached weird things about hell. You know, talk about revisionist history. I mean, this guy can't even get current history right, and yet I'm supposed to believe that he can tell me all of human history is completely far-fetched, and I just need to go and hear his seven spirits, hear him breathe out of his nose or something. I mean, this guy is a psychopath, okay? And frankly speaking, you know, I don't even know if I recommend watching the video. I gave you all the highlights. The rest of the video is him pulling verses out of the Bible, out of context, about Christ and applying it to himself. Talking about how he's the Messiah and Jesus and Christ. And it's just so wicked. It's so evil. It's hard to even want to hear it, that anybody would say such weird blasphemy. And of course, you know, that's the true profaning of God's name and blaspheming the name of the Lord. And of course, that God's not going to hold him guiltless. That's going to blaspheme his name. But this is what I thought was interesting about the whole thing. I personally believe he has to be demon-filled, like a demon-filled antichrist. But, you know, in my daily life, I don't really run into people and I'm just like, this guy's obviously demon-filled, okay? He's filled with demonic spirits. But I believe he clearly is an example, and he's clearly an example of an antichrist that exists and the Bible warns about. He's one of the most evil people on the planet. And is it any coincidence that one of the most evil people on the planet, that's most likely, and in my opinion, filled with demonic spirits, who is his number one enemy? It's the new IFB. Think about that for a second. Now look at Mark chapter 1, verse 23. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone! What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Isn't it interesting? Every time Jesus walked in a room, nobody knew who he was except for one person, the demon-filled guy. The demon-filled guy always knew who Jesus was. Go down to Mark chapter 3. Just flip the page. Go to Mark chapter 3. Now Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." So Jesus constantly had to rebuke the demon spirits and was worried about his fame spreading abroad through their mouth and through their testimony. So he simply would constantly rebuke them. Look at Mark chapter 3, verse 11. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, "Thou art the Son of God!" And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. Now, you know what's interesting to me? Every time one of these demons speak, it's great. I mean, think what he just said. Thou art the Son of God. Isn't that a great statement? I mean, is there anything false about this? Everything that he's saying is exactly true, and he knows exactly who Christ is. Go to Luke chapter 4. Go to Luke chapter number 4. You'll see a pattern in the Bible where demonic spirits and devils always know who Christ is. They recognize him. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone! What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. So every time Jesus is being confronted, you know, we talk about the legion. Jesus interacts with the legion and he knows exactly who he is, asking, "Art thou come to torment us before the time?" Knowing exactly who Christ is and what power he has. Well, go to Acts now. Go to Acts. You say, "Well, I'm not Jesus." Okay, that's true. But you know what's interesting is there is no Jesus on this earth for a demon to point out. Jesus is in heaven. So it's not like the demon spirits are going to go around pointing out Jesus anymore. They don't have Jesus to point out. He's in heaven right now. Of course, if Jesus was on the earth, they would be pointing him out. They would be like, "There he is. There is Jesus Christ." But in the book of Acts, Christ has already ascended, and yet we have men of God going around doing the work of God. And notice this, Acts chapter 16, verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Isn't that? I mean, that's a great statement. But notice, they knew immediately, hey, I know who this guy is. I mean, the Apostle Paul is entering into a town where no one has ever heard of this guy. No one's seen this guy. Yet just immediately, not only do they know exactly who he is. Hey, these are the servants of the Most High God. Also, he has the way of salvation. This guy has all the answers, everything. Go to chapter 19. Go to chapter number 19. Acts chapter number 19, look at verse number 11. The Bible says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. You know what I noticed that's really interesting, common theme in the Bible, is that the devil always knows who is the true servants of God. The demons always know who is the true servants of God. And is it any coincidence that the most obvious modern day antichrist we have in our world today, who's his number one enemy? The new IFB. Pastor Steven Anderson. You know, Pastor Roger Jimenez. Pastor Aaron Thompson. You think that's a coincidence, folks? That's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that the demon-filled evil reprobates are attracted to these men, attracted to their churches. They infiltrate these churches, and then they go out from us because they were not of us, and they expose themselves. And of course, he, in his own admission, is saying, hey, all these other churches are basically accomplishing nothing, and anybody that cares about the Bible is going to be drawn into the new IFB. You know why? Because that's true. Just like he said about the Apostle Paul, hey, this guy has the way of salvation. Hey, Paul, I know. Let me tell you something. The devil knows who the new IFB is. Right. You say, how do you know that, Pastor Shelley? Because he's been attacking me for a long time. Yep. Because he's been attacking my friends for a long time. Yep. And let me tell you something. If you believe that God is real, you have to believe the devil is real. Yep. And if you believe the devil is real, then show me who the devil is attacking. Show me who the antichrists are getting up and saying, hey, here's the enemy. Here's the person that we need to attack. Here's the person that we need to go against. And let me tell you something. In the coming last days, there is going to be a lot of antichrists, and the antichrists know exactly who is the servants of God. The antichrists are going to know who exactly is doing the work for God. And we need to not be deceived. We need to not get led astray and think, well, I just want to go to the fun center church where the antichrist will never attack me. Yeah, because you're doing nothing. Right. You know, you come to Steadfast Baptist Church for a reason, folks. And you need to remember that reason. And you know, when you have just a flag waving like, hey, you're in the right church, you need to pay attention to that.
Yeah.
And it's like, what could be a bigger flag than a guy literally claiming to be Jesus Christ, the first coming, and then saying, hey, the new IFB is the one doing the biggest work for God. The biggest, you know, making the biggest impact. And of course, obviously this guy is deluded and is a loser and a liar and a freak and a weirdo. I mean, obviously, we're not basing our doctrine on demon-filled schizophrenics, okay? We understand that we want to base our doctrine on the clear statements of the Bible, but it's no coincidence. It's no coincidence that the same devil-filled antichrists are pointing out the new IFB. You know, where's all the antichrists calling out Joel Osteen as the biggest threat? Show me. Where's all the people claiming to be the Lord Jesus Christ and then saying, oh, the Catholic Church is really taking it to us right now? The Methodists are really, you know, getting a lot of people saved. I mean, where are all their antichrists? Where are all their enemies? Where are all their attacks? In fact, most of the people that support and go to their church are the ones that protest our church. I mean, the United Methodist Church and our protesters are like the same group. And, you know, whenever we get called out, is it any coincidence that the false preachers of our areas get up and condemn our church openly? The guy that literally teaches work salvation across the street from our building is going to get up and say, hey, Steadfast Baptist Church is a wicked church and they're evil. I'm going to go give sandwiches to the sodomites. I'm going to go give sandwiches to pedophiles and try to invite them to my church and literally get up and say, they're welcome to come into our building and use our bathrooms. I mean, how could you think like, well, I want to go to that church so that I can run into the trannies in the bathroom. So I can run into the, and of course, you know, as men, we wouldn't deal with that. It'd be our wives and our daughters having to go to the bathroom with those freaks, with those weird, why is it they always want to go and pray on the weak? You know, why is it the trannies are always targeting women and children? They're not going after grown men. You know what? Because they can't pick on someone their own size. They always have to go and try to pick on someone that's not their size. You know, because they're a coward and they're a weakling. And you know, this stupid Tyler Doka is a weakling. Oh, he got nuked from us. You know why you got nuked, buddy? Is because you're an idiot and you believe in the flat earth. That's why. Because you're teaching heresy and false doctrine. Because you don't have the Spirit of God. That's why no one cares about you. That's why no one likes you. That's why you're going to split hell wide open. You know, he said, oh, this Justin LeBlanc's trying to get my wife to leave me. You know, I'm 100% against divorce, and I still am. But you know what? If your husband says he's Jesus, leave him permanently. Take your children and run, screaming in the other direction. Now, you don't have to file, you know, paperwork about that necessarily, but have nothing to do with anyone associated. Never have anything to do with them ever again. Period. Run away screaming. Everybody that knows this person should run away screaming. You should never want to talk to this guy, have anything to do with him. I mean, what does the Bible say? Go back to 2 John. I mean, when someone is at this extremity of evil and wickedness, you don't want to fall down into hell with them when the earth opens up. I mean, this is just extreme. But of course, God's going to allow some of the most extreme blasphemy in the last days. That's what the Bible says. What's the worst blasphemy? Antichrist. You know, in fact, it's called the abomination of desolation. It's considered the worst thing that's ever happened and ever will happen is the Antichrist getting in the temple and saying that he is Jesus. And what's the microcosm of that? What's the little bit smaller version of that? People like Tyler Doka getting up and making videos saying this. Is it, hey Tyler Doka, if you're the son of God, why do you need a YouTube channel to reach people? Can't you just go around and heal people and preach? I mean, Jesus made himself of no reputation, yet everybody heard of his fame. Yet nobody cares about you. You have to like make all these stupid YouTube videos. What happens if your YouTube channel gets nuked? I guess you're just done for. What happens when you die a gruesome, horrible death that God's going to probably bring upon you pretty soon? You didn't pay for my sins. You didn't pay for anybody's sins. You're going to pay for your own.
Right.
In hell.
Amen.
And you know, I'm glad that I wouldn't have to go to hell for any reason. But let alone, I'm glad I wouldn't have to go to hell and pay for the sin of claiming to be Jesus. That's a pretty bad one. You know, we're going to stand at the great white throne judgment, and he's going to have to hear about how all the stupid garbage he said. I mean, the Bible says every idle word that men shall speak, every stupid utterance and every weird blasphemous thing that this freak, I mean, the best thing this guy could do is put a millstone around his neck and throw himself into the sea right now.
Amen.
Right now. That is my advice for him. That is going to be the greatest thing that he could possibly do to himself because he's going to be in hell no matter what. And of course, it would suck to suffer right away, but the suffering for all of eternity is going to be even worse if he doesn't just go ahead and end it. You know, if he doesn't just do us all a favor and basically end his life. Now, in 2 John, the Bible does say in verse number 7, let's read this again, for many deceivers are entered in the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. You know, there's so many false prophets, and they will just bless everyone. I don't bless everyone. And, you know, you say, well, that's mean. No, no, that's biblical. The Bible literally commands me to not bless every single person. You know, and I've heard a weird fundamental Baptist get up and say, well, you're never allowed to curse anyone. You know, that's only for Jesus, and that's only if you have the authority to do so. Well, you know what? I have the authority. I have all authority. Yeah. It was given to me right here because Jesus Christ gave me the scripture, number one, and he literally told me to sing the Psalms. How can I sing an imprecatory psalm if I'm never even allowed to curse anyone? Aren't I cursing the dam? I mean, aren't I cursing just the bloody and deceitful man when I sing about him? I mean, when I get up and I sing Psalm 139 and say that I hate them that hate the Lord, when I sing about people's, you know, teeth getting smashed in, break their teeth in their mouth, oh God, am I really supposed to pretend like I'm not cursing anyone? That I'm not wishing evil upon anyone? That's because these people don't probably understand the definition of cussing or cursing. They just attribute them to be the same thing. You know, you can say damn Joe Biden or let's go Biden or the other thing, okay? You got nervous there for a second. I know it. And you're not, you know, you're fully in line with the Bible, in my opinion. And, you know, they all mean the same thing. You're all saying the same thing. And if you don't think that anybody in the Bible damned anybody or condemned anybody, you don't like the Bible. And I heard this Baptist preacher say the same. He's like, oh, whenever I tell people not to cuss or curse anyone, they'll be like, well, you wouldn't like Jesus. And he's like, if someone says that, you know they're a wicked person. I'm like, what are you talking about? Jesus literally damned people. Jesus is literally screaming at the Pharisees and talking about how they're damned. And you're like, well, that's just Jesus. Well, then why did the Apostle Paul damn certain people in the book of Acts? He damned Bar-Jesus. There's this Eliamus, the sorcerer, is coming around. What's a sorcerer? Someone that deals with demonic spirits, trying to take people away from the faith, and he just blinded them on the spot. You really going to tell me that that's him blessing him? You going to really tell me that God loves Eliamus, the sorcerer, and that Paul loved Eliamus, the sorcerer, when he just cursed him right there? I mean, how are you going to interpret Old Testament stories when the prophet is cursing children? I mean, 40 and two children were torn apart by bears because the man of God said it. I know there's a lot of fundamental Baptist preachers, they wouldn't like Elisha of the Bible. And you're like, he's mean-spirited. He cursed. Yeah, he cursed children. Not just Joe Biden, folks, okay? I mean, this guy is cursing children, and they were destroyed by bears immediately. Now, of course, this guy goes, well, if you curse someone, it doesn't happen immediately, then that's because you didn't have the authority. I'm like, well, that's stupid. That's stupid that you believe that everything has to happen instantly. Why would anybody ever need any faith then? I mean, you basically take all faith out of the equation when it happens instantaneously. I mean, how do you even need, like, and we would have no bad people. I mean, if I could just say, hey, I hope that Tyler Doka breaks his neck right now and dies a slow, painful death, and it just happened, no one would ever want to be an Antichrist again. You know, if I just said, hey, every protester, God, just strike with lightning right now. Now, I have prayed that. But if it just happened right away, we would never have protesters. Think about it. You know, and you'd be terrified to be on my bad side. You know, all these people making videos and memes against me would be a little bit scared. You know, they'd be a little intimidated, right? Jesus didn't even do it. Jesus allowed people to blaspheme him. Yeah. David allowed people to blaspheme him. Yeah. They're going to, because, again, God allowed people to sin. Couldn't God just smite every one of us every time we just sinned and everything bad happened? You know, these fundamental Baptist preachers need to learn how to interpret the Bible and need to get consistency in their Bible. Yes, we can curse people. And if there's anybody to curse on this planet, it's Tyler Doka.
Amen.
I hope that God kills him right now.
Amen. I hope that God smites him and destroys him instantly. And you know what? I think I should pray that basically every day until it happens. Because what a wicked, evil person, what a Satan-filled, demonic spirit to get up and call himself Jesus Christ, and I am not going to bless him. Otherwise, I'd be a partaker of his evil deeds. And you know what? You are a partaker of evil deeds when you bless wicked people. How dare you bless Joe Biden? How many pastors in America right now are blessing Joe Biden? And you know what? They would condemn me for explaining what Let's Go Brandon means. Right? I mean, how many fundamental Baptist preachers would get up and literally say, oh, Pastor Shelley is wicked because he used a certain word, yet they'll bless Joe Biden. They'll bless our government. They'll bless all kinds of evil, satanic, false preachers even. They'll bless John MacArthur. I mean, I've heard fundamental Baptist preachers that condemn me bless John MacArthur with their mouth and say, hey, I'm standing with John MacArthur with the COVID thing. How dare you? How dare you sit here and pretend like I'm such a perverter of the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ for using a certain word about Joe Biden, yet you can openly say something positive about John MacArthur? You're a partaker of his evil deeds. You know, we should be careful who we bless. You know, Jesus even told the disciples, hey, when you enter into a house and it's not worthy, hey, bring your worthiness back to yourself. Yeah. Say, hey, come on back to me, and I'm leaving, and I'm shaking off the dust of my feet, because you know what? It's going to be worse for you than Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, oh, you think that it's bad for these Sodomite protesters? It's worse for you for receiving them. It's worse for you for rejecting me. Hey, it's worse for you for standing with these freaks. It's worse for you for condemning me. Hey, you know what? I'm a child of God. And you know what? There's people out there saying, hey, God doesn't even love me for my preaching. I'm like, what are you talking about? What an evil person. You know, why is the slander and the attacks and the antichrist, all this stuff just increasing? I'll tell you why, because we're getting closer and closer to Jesus coming back. And we're going to have more and more antichrists. Look, this is not a one-off situation. The Tyler Dokas are not going to be a one-time thing. And if you stick with this church, be prepared for more infiltrators. Be prepared for more antichrists. Be prepared for more bad people. Look, there could be a Judas in the room right now. It wouldn't shock me if there was a Judas in the room right now. It's happened before. It'll happen again. And you know what? We'll catch you. Because we're filled with the Spirit of God. We're smarter than you. We're better than you. We actually know what we're talking about. You're a fake. And if you're a fake, get out. You know. And of course, I don't even believe that it's necessarily true. It could be. But I guarantee, hey, when we start exploding, which I think is going to happen in the near future, we might have some weeds come in. You might have some weirdos come in, and you have to be prepared for that. You know, I went to a church, Faithfulward Baptist Church, and it was like a really unique church for me for the first time. I have never seen someone get thrown in my church in my entire life. And then I go to Faithfulward, and it's just like, bam, 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 bam. I mean, in the middle of the service, this guy, that guy, who wants to go next? And it's just like, whoa, what's happening? And it's called New Testament Christianity. And it's like, this guy's a freak too. Like, I've never heard of a flat earther in my life. And then you come to these churches. I'm like, Antichrist doesn't even make sense. And then you're like, there it is. It's why? Because the Bible will start making sense when you start doing it. When you start living New Testament Christianity, oh man, the Bible's going to be like, whoa. You'll see all the different Absaloms, and you'll see the Shimeis, and you'll see all the weirdos and the freaks that are in the Bible. And the Bible just comes to life every single day. You know, what's the point of the sermon? I mean, here, look, the point of the sermon is this. Antichrist shall come. You know, we're looking for Christ coming, but let's be real. The Antichrist is next, not Jesus Christ. And we as God's people need to prepare ourselves for the coming Antichrists and the ultimate Antichrist. Why? Because they're anticipating us. They know who we are. So we need to know who they are. And we need to prepare ourselves and realize that they're out there. And you know, when they start pointing at us, don't be like, oh, I'm in the wrong group. Realize you're in the right group. Amen. You want to be in the group that the Antichrist is saying they're bad. I don't want to be in the group that the Antichrist is saying they're so loving and kind. And look at their 5-star Google review. You know, I'm never going to have a good Google review. I can't even, I like lost all control to my, the Google profile anyways, you know. It's like taken over by literal Satanists or something like that. So it's like, good luck ever having a good online reputation ever again. Basically, the internet's turned into TV. You know, TV got to a point where it's like, no good person could ever get on TV or ever advertise or publicize. It's like, it's going to get to a point where on the internet, it'll probably be stripped away. It'll become China, and, you know, you have to bootleg things and hide stuff and go around and whatever. But, you know, the apostles were able to accomplish stuff without the internet. Jesus did a lot of work without the internet. You know, only the false prophets need the internet. We don't need the internet. The internet's a nice to have. And, of course, I want to reach as many people as we can. We're going to put a megaphone up to our sermons, and we're going to scream them as loud as we can. But you know what? Even if the megaphone gets taken away, we're going to still serve God here.
Amen.
And I don't care what Antichrist comes. You know what? You stick with the King James Bible. You stick with a Baptist church. You keep showing up. You keep serving God. Don't let the naysayers get you down. Don't let these look, folks, this is the weirdest thing ever. For someone to think that Adam Fannin is one of the 10 kings is almost flat earth level stupidity. I don't know which one's worse. It's like a tie. Maybe they need that meme where they're like wrestling. Like, which one's like dumber? I don't know. I mean, it's so stupid. Okay? But you're like, how could people be this insane? I mean, when you talk to normal people, like normies, and we explain our situation, they can't even believe it. It's like they don't understand Antichrist and all that. It's like none of this stuff makes sense to them, okay? But to us, we understand. And you know better, and you need to continue to get plugged in. And look at this as a positive thing. Like, wouldn't it be cool if the Antichrist recognized you? I mean, would you really want for the demon-possessed person to be like, Jesus, I know. Pastor Anderson, I know, but who are ye? Joel Osteen, I know, said no one. Actually, Joel Osteen was the guy speaking. You know, that was the guy. I mean, but do you really want to be the guy's like, who are ye? Or do you want to be new IFB? Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for giving us the Word of God to help explain all the bizarre circumstances in the world that we live in. I pray that we would not be turned away with all the antichrists and the weirdos and the freaks out there. I pray that we would just condemn them, that we would be bold enough to pray imprecatory prayers against these disgusting, evil, satanic reprobates, that we would have no fear and wishing evil to come upon them, that we'd be afraid to bless the wrong person, and that when we see that we're obviously serving God, when you give us these telltale signs, that we would put them deep down into our heart and we would realize we're on the right path and that you want us to keep serving you and being faithful despite all adversity. And I pray that you would just help strengthen all of our hearts and our minds so that when we come into these difficult times in the future, we would be continually steadfast, not just now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
All right, for the final song is 164, 164, Praise Him, Praise Him. Song number 164, Praise Him, Praise Him. 164, on the first. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor gives Him His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reign it forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. God bless you. You are dismissed.